When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
I'm Freddie Coleman. He's Harry Douglas. We're in for Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. Thanks for joining us on SiriusXM Channel 80 and also your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. 10 minutes away from the second part of our mock draft. We did picks 1 through 10 about 45 minutes ago. We're going through picks 11 through 21 that happens your way. The Freddie Harry mock draft in 10 minutes. That'll continue right about that time. Real quick, Handyman. Handyman, hit us on Twitter at Coleman ESPN and at HDUS83. We talk about the Boston Celtics and playing with their food. And now it's a series, boys and girls. At the Miami wins last night, they beat them by 10, making 23 three-pointers. Handyman wants to know, are the Boston Celtics the Dallas Cowboys of the NBA?
I would say no. And the reason why I'm saying no is because at least the Boston Celtics have been to multiple Eastern Conference Finals, and also they was in the NBA Finals before they lost to the Golden State Warriors. So I can't put them in the same category as the Dallas Cowboys because they haven't been to a conference championship game.
Right.
January 1996. I know the date, y'all.
You hurt me so much with that. It's a Dallas Cowboys fan. Evan Wilness, the producer of this show, you did something similar on this show 2 days ago,
Evan? Yeah, we did this the other day. We started floating around who is like the Dallas Cowboys of the NBA, like the team we just talk about way too much that doesn't deliver at all.
Right.
We came to the Knicks because we are constantly talking about the Knicks. We're constantly talking about stars going to the Knicks. This is the year that they're finally going to get LeBron or Kevin Durant, all these guys.
Yeah.
And then they don't get any of them, and they don't do anything in the playoffs. Yeah.
You know why the Knicks don't get them? Because fans... not me, but unrealistic Knicks fans, they have these expectations. Why would you not want to sign here? We got two banners up there. Yeah, since 1973. When gas was, the last time they won a championship, milk was still being delivered in bottles, and gas was free in this country. Those are the kind of Knicks fans that drive me insane. Those kind of thinking, you don't owe anybody anything when it comes to the Knicks. They've been able to build it the right way now. So, yeah, it's a definite comparison that they're more like the Dallas Cowboys of the NBA than the Boston Celtics. But you got so many Knicks fans out there that why would LeBron not sign here? Why would Kevin Durant not sign here? Well, why would they at that time? It's different if they can continue this, being a 50-win team and being the second seed in the Eastern Conference.
That's the thing. What we've seen from them the other night versus the Philadelphia 76ers and how that crowd was, and DiVincenzo when asked, how did you guys do this? And he basically looked at the crowd and said, this is who we do it for.
Mm-hmm.
It's for these people.
Yep.
So when free agents have the ability to be able to sit at home and watch these basketball games moving forward, if this team could at least make it to an Eastern Conference Finals, Freddie, I feel like guys are going to want to come to New York. Now, it's a give and a take, too, because we do know Tibbs grinds the hell out of his players.
Right.
And if you're an old guy, but you can still play at a high level, you might not want to come into a situation where you know your coach is going to grind the hell out of you. But that's also, I think, where Tibbs has to grow moving forward, too.
Right.
And say, you know what? Hey, I'm not going to change the way I'm coaching. I might need to let up on a few things, though, to complement my superstars that are now with this basketball team.
Well, the one thing he's had made that adjustment is the fact that he doesn't grind them as much in practice. He said, I want their legs and their minds to be right. So he has definitely made that adjustment. So when they're out there playing 40 to 41 minutes, it's not as much of a grind because they didn't have enough of those practices wearing them out. And especially with Julius Randle being injured out for the season and OG Anunoby dealing with his injury issues, he's been able to make that adjustment that they're the fresher team down the stretch that we had not seen from Tibbs' teams before when he coached in Minnesota and also in Chicago as well. Keep weighing in on Twitter at HDouglas83, Harry's handle, my handle at Coleman ESPN. So who does Harry Douglas think could be the best quarterback in this draft? He's got options. Caleb Williams of USC, Jaden Daniels of LSU, Drake May of North Carolina, J.J. McCarthy of Michigan, Michael Penix Jr. of Washington, Bo Nix of Oregon, even Michael Pratt out of Memphis, or Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina. But there's one guy that you believe that a lot of people may be giving side eye to, Harry, that you believe could be the best quarterback in this draft when it's all said and done.
Yeah, it's Drake May. And I think he's the rawest quarterback in the draft this season. When you look at not playing football his senior year, not playing his freshman year at North Carolina, having two separate offensive coordinators in the 2 years that he did play, he's just raw right now. And that's why I say for him, he has to go to the ideal spot, right? The perfect spot where the structure is there. You have a great coach that can coach him up properly, coach him up hard. The little things, the intangibles, the footwork, the the delivery when he's passing the football, all those things matter. But also, we know for these young prospects, it's all about who you have around them.
Absolutely.
Like weapon-wise, running back, how your offensive coordinator call plays. Do they lean towards your strengths and never exploit your weaknesses? All these things matter when it comes to these young prospects. And I think for Drake May, if he has the ability to be able to go somewhere, number one, where he can sit the first year, but also learn the little intangibles of the game from the quarterback position,
right?
I think he could end up being the best quarterback in this draft. Now, that's no knock on Caleb Williams, because I think Caleb Williams is my number one guy in this draft.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I'm saying Drake May, when you look at the size, you look at the strength, 2 years ago, he led his football team in rushing. So it's not like he's not athletic, and, you know, he has the background as well with one brother winning the World Series at the University of Florida, one brother winning a championship at North Carolina, and Luke May, his father, he has the background of the athleticism. Now it's just about getting at the right place and being coached properly so he can move forward and be great.
Drake May would love for that to happen, what you just said, because then he could potentially be the Patrick Mahomes of this draft. Why I say that is Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs traded up to number 10. When they selected him, there were a lot of raising eyebrows. People like, well, Deshaun Watson, quarterback of Clemson, he was on the board. He wound up going number 12 to the Houston Texans. That worked out until everything went haywire by that organization on off the football field. You also had plenty of the quarterbacks that many people regarded a little bit higher than Patrick Mahomes that turned out not to be anywhere near Patrick Mahomes. Kansas City saw somebody they wanted, traded up to number 10, drafted that guy, sat for a year, played behind Alex Smith, started the final game of the regular season, his rookie year, and then he's been that one of one ever since, where he tore apart the National Football League from 2018 until right now, where he is the best of the best in the NFL. Not trying to put Drake May in the same prospect category.
I understand exactly what you mean. I know you're not saying
exactly
that Drake May is going to be Patrick Mahomes and they're on the same level. I understand exactly what you're saying because I had the luxury, Freddie, to play against Patrick Mahomes in preseason. I'm like, what in the hell is going on? And their head communications guy, he was with me in Atlanta. And I remember after that game him telling me that one right there special.
Really?
And it was Patrick Mahomes. But sometimes Patrick Mahomes is raw, though. Needed to understand that coverage is a little bit better. He'll tell you, even when he was playing his second year, there was still a learning process for him. He was just so damn good.
Right.
He was able to get away with a little bit, but he knew as his career prolonged and as it moved forward, he had to get better in dissecting the defense. And then once you started losing players,
right,
now you have to take your game to another level. And Patrick Mahomes has shown us that. He's been able to do it. That's why I think for Drake May, it's important where he goes, because if he goes to Washington, he got to play right now.
Right.
He's not going to have that luxury.
Right. I
to
hear
be
you.
Able to sit.
Yeah. Harry Douglas, Freddie coming in for Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. And the reason I made that comparison with Patrick Mahomes, because everything you said is what Drake May has already gone through at North Carolina. Patrick Mahomes had that 1 year as junior where a lot of guys were there throwing the football all over the place, making plays. The defense was terrible. They went 5-6 and go to a bowl game. The next year, a couple of those guys weren't there. He was still able to make those kind of plays, even though he didn't have those guys around him. Drake May went through a similar situation. A lot of dudes that are around him, the first year he really started to make his name, and people said that guy could be the number one pick in the draft. Then last year, a couple of those guys weren't there, didn't have Tez Watkins at the beginning of the year, whole thing about the NCAA and eligibility issues, and then people looked at his game and said he suffered a little bit. You get him to the right situation with the kind of tools that he possesses, a guy that can make plays with his legs, can make plays with his arm, and he's not unintelligent when it comes to from the neck up. You don't need a checkup from the neck up when it comes to Drake May. You get him to the right kind of situation where he can learn that like Patrick Mahomes, he may wind up making you look like a prophet. And like you said, that's not slighting Caleb. That's not slighting Jaden. That's not slighting J.J. McCarthy.
Yep.
But his ability in terms of raw material, he, in terms of that, has it over the rest of the guys in this draft. If he gets to the right situation and being coached properly and keeps learning because his intelligence quotient is really high, he may want to make you look like a prophet, Harry Douglas, is all said and done.
And also, when you look at the top five quarterbacks, right, Caleb, Jaden, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., When I look at Caleb Williams, he had Jordan Addison 2 years ago. It's one of the reasons why he won the Heisman, on top of his talent just being unbelievable.
Right.
Jaden Daniels this year is about to have two first-round drafted wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Michael Penix Jr. is about to have one, and then he's going to have guys that go in the second or third round, probably second round, two others. When I look at J.J. McCarthy, well, hell, he had Jim Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A quarterback that played the position, was drafted at the position.
And knows how to coach it.
And instant success everywhere he goes. When I look at Drake May didn't have any of those things I just mentioned. So that's why I think he has a ton of room to grow, and it could be scary if he gets to the right place.
And we saw that it did for Patrick Mahomes. Maybe, just maybe, Drake May could be that second coming of that if situations break right for him. NFL Draft on ESPN Radio. Coverage begins tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with Chris Carlin, Chris Canty, Ian Fitzsimmons, Mike Tannenbaum, and Jordan Reed. And we continue with the Freddie and Harry alternating mock draft. We did the first 10 picks 45 minutes ago. Who do we have going from picks number 11 through number 21. I'm Freddie Coleman. He's Harry Doug with In for Carlin versus Joe on the ESPN app and ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio.
It's time to get the show started.
The music, the moment you own it, you better never let it go.
The NFL Draft is now officially open.
Live from the heart of downtown Detroit, it all starts with round one. Tonight at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
He is Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us in for Chris Carlin and Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Don't forget about us and tune in. And I'll tell you, a smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. So we did the first 10 picks of our Freddie and Harry NFL mock draft. Don't forget NFL draft coverage on ESPN Radio tonight starting at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. We did the first 10 picks, and I had a chance to pick first. So now we're going to do picks 11 through 21, which means that my man Harry Douglas is going to get it started, and we get it started with...
With the 11th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Olu Fashanu from Penn State University.
Well done.
And I picked this player at this spot is because, number one, I'm a guy that played in Tennessee, and I know their general manager very, very well. One of the things he wants to recreate is that offensive line being nasty, being ferocious. They took Peter Skoronski last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think with Olu Fashanu, he's going to be a guy that can be able to get in there and protect the quarterback. We know Brian Callahan is now the new head coach. He's an offensive-minded guy.
Right.
Why not go with a guy on the offensive line that can anchor, because everything starts up front.
With the 12th pick of the 2024 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Bo Nix, quarterback out of Oregon. They're not going to go with Jarrett Stidham as their long-term answer. They tried to trade against somebody else, didn't have that draft capital. Sean Payton wants somebody that he can mold, that he can squeeze, that he can make do his bidding in that offense. It may be a little high for him to take, but he's had success with quarterbacks who aren't exactly tall, i.e. Drew Brees all those years together with the New Orleans Saints. I think they make that reach. They need offensive line help, but they need a quarterback. They don't have one. The Denver Broncos, they'll take Bo Nix with the 12th pick of this year's NFL Draft.
With the 13th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Talese Fuega from Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
Tough, athletic, he will maul you at the point of attack. This is a team need. Telesco, who is now the GM for the Las Vegas Raiders, but also Antonio Pierce, he wants to be nasty. He wants to be physical. They're going to be able to do that with Fuega at the offensive tackle position from Oregon State.
with the 14th pick of the 2024 NFL draft, the New Orleans Saints. No, they're not taking a quarterback. They're going to be stuck with Derek Carr for a while.
Uh-oh.
They're going to take J.C. Latham, offensive tackle out of Alabama. They need offensive line help. They don't have to go that far in the southern part of the United States. J.C. Latham, a guy that's just like a bouncer in the club. You mess with him, you're getting thrown out in the club and out on the street. And that's what they need, because that toughness has not been there with the Saints, especially in the offensive line. Now you get a chance to have a guy like that that can fortify your offensive line, help your running game, and may have your quarterback play a little bit better. With the 14th pick, the Saints will take J.C. Latham, offensive tackle out of Alabama.
With the 15th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Indianapolis Colts select cornerback from Alabama, Terrion Arnold. This is okay. A must. This is all a right. Must for the secondary of the Colts. It's a massive team need. I love what Terrion Arnold. We had Malik Nabers on. Mm-hmm. And who was the toughest player he say he faced throughout his entire career?
Terrion Arnold, the cornerback Terrion of Alabama. Arnold. Yes.
So that's why I love this pick for the Colts.
Okay. Oh, wow, man. A nice little surprise there. With the 16th pick, the Seattle Seahawks flip-flop. They move down to 18. The Bengals move up to number 16 in that trade with the Seattle Seahawks. They just flip-flop positions as far as that goes. With the 16th pick in the first round of this NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks, they take Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver out of LSU. They have a chance to maybe fortify themselves. They may lose T. Higgins. They got to worry about paying Jamar Chase. They know that LSU wide receivers can play. That is not an issue. So they make that trade. Seattle moves up to 16. The Seahawks move down to 18. And with that pick, they take Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver from LSU.
With the 17th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo.
Okay.
Ball skills. He has the speed, athleticism, 402 snaps. He did not allow a passing touchdown. 15 pass breakups last year, which was tied for first in FBS. This young man is a flat-out baller.
He's Harry Douglas, Freddie coming together in for Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, doing our alternating mock draft Freddie and Harry style. We start with the 11th pick in the draft. Harry made the first pick. He takes Olu Fashanu, offensive tackle out of Penn State. The Broncos, I believe they take Bo Nix, the quarterback out of Oregon at number 12. Harry believes the Raiders take Talese Fuaga, offensive tackle, Oregon State at 13. I think the Saints at 14 take J.C. Latham, offensive tackle out of Alabama. Harry believes at number 15, the Colts will take Terrion Arnold, cornerback out of Alabama. At 16, have the Bengals and the Seahawks flip-flopping. The Bengals trading with Seattle. They move to 16. They take Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver at LSU. And Harry believes at number 17, the Jacksonville Jaguars take Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo, which brings us to... With the 18th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks take Leetu Latu out of UCLA. They need an edge rusher in that division. He may have slid just a little bit. There are a lot of concerns about the neck injuries he suffered in college, but the guy has a get-up, and he has a get-off, and a lot of people will find that very hard to block at the next level, and you need that in that division. At number 18, at the trading places with Cincinnati, the Seattle Seahawks take Leetu Latu, UCLA edge rusher, at that spot.
With the 19th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select from Texas, Byron Murphy II.
Ah, okay.
You have one of the greatest players that played the defensive tackle position, is now retired. He's no longer playing. You now get to add another piece to your defensive line, in which they drafted well. Phenomenal, in my opinion, the last 2 years. Byron Murphy II, I did the game versus the Washington Huskies in the semifinals, and he was disruptive. If it wasn't for the quarterback being able to elude pressure, Byron Murphy II probably would have had 3 or 4 sacks in that game.
I love that pick, by the way. Matter of fact, that guy's an animal. The Pittsburgh Steelers at number 20, and with that pick, they go offensive line. They take Troy Fatanu out of the University of Washington. They love big, nasty, physical guys that can go up and down the offensive line. He fits exactly what they want to do. They want to get back to running the football. They got Russell Wilson as their quarterback. They got a tight end they believe in Freiermuth, but they need somebody with that toughness to add to that offensive line that got a little bit better each and every week. The Steelers are number 20. They take Troy Fatanu, offensive lineman from the University of Washington.
With the 21st pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select Jarrett Verse from Florida State University. Now, here I definitely wanted to go offensive lineman, but Freddie, you took my pick with the Pittsburgh Steelers, so I went defensive player because of when I look at the Dolphins, you have Jalen Phillips coming off an injury.
I love this pick.
You also have Christian Wilkins, who's now with the Las Vegas Raiders, and you have another player that was the cornerstone of your defense, a rushing the passer, coming off an injury as well. So that's three people that you were probably counting on. One is no longer there. Two guys coming off an injury. Jarrett Verse now can step in and be a dominant force.
Here's why I love that pick, because it fits a need for the Miami Dolphins, number one. And number two, this is a guy that played at FCS, University of Albany, played part of the Great Danes. And people said, why are you leaving that school to go to the ACC? Two-time first-team ACC pick, ACC Defensive Player of the Year. You do not have to worry about that guy having any kind of motivation or finding that motivation to make that work. That could be a really good pick for the Dolphins. And if that happens, that's going to be awful for my New York Jets having to deal with that guy in that division for the next 8 to 10 years when it comes to Jarrett Verse out of Florida State that Harry Belize goes to Miami. Like we mentioned, the NFL draft less than 7 hours away. Coverage begins on ESPN Radio at 7 o'clock Eastern time. We gave you our mock draft picks so far for the first 10 picks and picks 11 through 21. We got an FOS friend of the show as a draft insider. He has the latest of what will happen tonight despite the mock draft that you just experienced from me, Freddie Coleman, and Harry Douglas. Thanks for joining us on Carlin vs. Joe on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb Williams, 7th.
There's only one guy that can throw the ball like him, Mahomes.
How did Caleb Williams do that?
Unbelievable. He's awesome. He's really, really special.
The Magic Man pulls out the Magic Wand.
Caleb showed right away at Oklahoma what a great quarterback he could be. 9.8 yards per pass attempt when on the move this year. 16 completions, at least 20 yards down the field in 2023. That's most in FBS. He can be spectacular, can be generational in the NFL.
He's Harry Douglas and Freddie Coleman in for the guys today on Carlin vs. Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Oh, yeah, we're playing Motown because that's where the NFL draft is in tonight in Detroit, Michigan. Coverage on ESPN Radio with Chris Carlin, Chris Canty, Ian Fitzsimmons, Mike Tannenbaum, and Jordan Reed begins at 7 o'clock Eastern time. Let's bring in an FOS friend of the show. He is Phil Yates. Does a fantastic job as an ESPN NFL draft analyst. Hit him on Twitter at Phil Yates. He's joining us here, part of Carlin vs. Joe. Phil, take a look at your mock draft, which I'm not a mock draft kind of guy, but your mock draft has been terrific. You have no surprise at the top. You got Caleb Williams going to the Bears at number one. Jaden Daniels going to the Washington Commanders at number two. So why do you believe the draft really starts with the Patriots, what they're going to do at number three?
Freddie, first of all, like a little part of my soul died there when you said that you aren't a big mock draft guy. I feel
I'm
like
not.
You, Mr. Entertainment, would love the mock draft. How could you not love them? They're terrific.
I love your mock draft. I don't like everybody's mock draft, but I love your mock draft, Mr.
Yates. You know, everybody, they're like opinions these days. Everybody's got them, right? Everybody's got their mock drafts. Everybody's got their opinions. So, you know, when this mock draft went live, I did think there was a chance, not a huge chance, but a chance the draft kind of could start at number three with the Patriots. If I had to guess, as of right now, and we're, 6.5 hours away from the start of the 2024 NFL draft, I would think the draft actually maybe starts at pick number five. I think the Patriots end up sticking around at number three and take Drake May, the quarterback from North Carolina, because an offer is not likely going to entice him. It would have to be a big, big offer. And I think that just a few years ago, when you have a Miami Dolphins, San Francisco 49ers trade that involved essentially three first-round picks for one, being the central point of the package, teams are going to say, if you're like the Patriots right now, hey, if you want to get up here, Minnesota, then you better give us 11, 23, and an extra first-round pick. So I think the Patriots probably wind up sticking at number three, take Drake May, and then if I'm the Cardinals, I do the easy thing here, and I take Marvin Harrison Jr., 4th overall, and then the fun begins with the Los Angeles Chargers at number five.
Now, Phil, first let me say this. You will be missed tonight and tomorrow. The last three or 4 years, we've been able to do the draft together. You are awesome, but you also deserve everything that you have right now.
Co-sign.
And also are going to get in the future. So you will be missed tonight, Phil.
And hey, I'm just trying to identify the next Harry Douglas of the wide receiver class that gets out there tonight. Here's his name called Harry. It was the steal of the century for him to last as long as he did in the draft. Teams won't make the same mistake twice. But I appreciate you immensely, both of you. And I'm gonna miss that the stream tonight because I always had a ton of fun doing that. And that's a great, informative, and very funny crew as well.
Now we are doing our own mock draft right now. Currently, my latest mock draft, we have the Patriots taking Drake May at number 3. What do you make of the odds now saying that J.J. McCarthy is the favorite to go to the Patriots via ESPN Bet?
Yeah, gosh, I got to tell you, I'm making mental notes of all the odd shifts over the past couple of days for this very reason, is that it doesn't feel like the odds are driven by as much accurate information as they are perhaps trying to drive action. And why I say that is last year, and I saw this note somewhere recently, the morning of the 2023 NFL draft, the favorite to go number 2 overall was Will Levis. He wound up going 2 as in the second round last year. Right. So I wonder if odds are a little bit less reliable as it pertains to the draft than they are other things, right? I mean, it always blows my mind when Vegas has the line for some game at 47.5 and the final score is, you know, 27-21, which is 48, right? Those are the kind of things that make you think, wow, like those people are darn good at their job. Mm-hmm. I do think, though, that Drake May ends up carrying the momentum that he has had throughout this process into tonight, goes 3rd overall to the Patriots, and they have an opportunity to do something differently with Drake May than they did with Mac Jones, which was repeatedly reinvest in people around him. It's going to take a lot of work, but that offensive line and that wide receiver room needs to be a whole lot better than it currently is right now, because no matter how great a quarterback is, even the very best top of the food chain quarterbacks still need some help.
The ours terrific Phil Yates, ESPN NFL Draft Analyst, by the way. He'll be part of ABC's NFL Draft coverage tonight. He'll be the ESPN Game Day crew, including, Alabama coach from Alabama, Coach Nick Saban. Talking about the players' journey to the National Football League, he joins Freddie Coleman, Harry Douglas, in for Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We're doing our own mock draft today. We've already gone through, Field, the first 21 picks. I had the Minnesota Vikings flipping spots with the Tennessee Titans at number 7 and Drake May slipping there. Like I said, it's a mock draft. That's our mock draft. What are the chances? What are the chances that either him, meaning Drake May, or J.J. McCarthy could have maybe not an Aaron Rodgers type of slide, but a slide tonight?
I think it's possible. And by the way, people get so riled up about, like, you know, mock draft accuracy. I mean, it would be cool if you could go 32 for 32. But, you know, truthfully, guys, it's like trying to win the lottery, right?
Yes.
It's hard to do. And I find I believe this. And if there's somebody out there on the ESPN leadership team that disagrees with me, but that's okay. But I believe that mock drafts for much of the process are for entertainment purposes, right?
Oh boy,
because it's so hard. It just takes one trade that nobody knows is going down to change everything, right? I could have the first pick right with Caleb Williams, second pick right with Jaden Daniels, and the Patriots could make a trade, and then all of a sudden, a lot of guys get shifted around. Does that mean my mock draft was terrible? No. So I think that's just the nature of mock drafting. But back to the question about whether one of those two quarterbacks is flat. I think it's possible for this reason. As of right now, between picks 4 through 11, there's only one team, the Giants, who I think would even consider a quarterback. The Cardinals won't. The Chargers won't. The Titans won't. The Falcons won't. The Bears obviously won't at number 9 after taking one at number 1. And the Jets won't. So if the Giants don't feel comfortable with a quarterback who's available at pick 6, then you could see a little bit of a slide to number 11. I think, though, the floor for either of those quarterbacks that don't go with the first two picks is number 11. I think Minnesota says, no way, no how, especially understanding that right behind them, Denver needs a quarterback and Vegas also needs a quarterback. So 11, 12, and 13 could be a hot zone for some of those quarterbacks, especially with the expectation right now that 6 will go in the first round.
So, Phil, the one and only Rich Cimini tweeted 3 options for the Jets. Trade up for a wide receiver, trade down for an offensive tackle, take Bowers at 10. What's most likely in your mind?
You know, Rich obviously has tremendous intel, and I'm trusting him on that. I think it's spot on, by the way. I went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and I kind of split the atom a little bit. Mm-hmm. I had the Jets trading down because they don't have a number two pick or a second round pick that was sent to the Packers in the Aaron Rodgers trade.
Right.
And then I had them taking an offensive lineman. And here's the reason why, guys. I went back and checked this just to get a little sense of it. The Jets had 12 different offensive line combinations last year. Two out of 32 teams, two, had the same five starting offensive linemen for every game of last season. At some point, attrition is going to hit, especially in the case of the Jets when you have two 33-year-olds as your left and right tackle. Typically, guys in their mid-30s aren't as, you know, usually as stable as guys in their early 20s. So my feeling is that the Jets should do the right thing in ensuring the offensive line. And even if that means that the guy you take with pick 15 or whatever, that's why I have my mock draft, is a sixth offensive lineman to start, I don't care. Because you're one play away from that guy being your starter at left tackle or right tackle or guard. Four plays into last season, Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles, in part because he was pressured.
Yeah.
If you can't keep Aaron Rodgers up, you have no chance next year. And I believe this, and reasonable minds can disagree, but I believe Aaron Rodgers, any great quarterback, is more capable of lifting up the receivers around him than a great quarterback is capable of lifting up the offensive line around him. That's not to say that you don't need great receivers. Obviously, you do. I'm just saying that, you know, bad offensive lines tend to reveal bad offenses in general. We saw Aaron Rodgers make Alan Lazard look like a really good player, and then Lazard last year, after Aaron Rodgers went down four plays into the season, became a non-factor for the Jets. So quarterbacks certainly can influence that wide receiver room a whole bunch.
Real quick, we mentioned that you're going to be part of ABC's NFL draft coverage tonight. You're going to be the ESPN Game Day crew. Nick Saban, former Alabama head coach, is going to be there. What has it been like for you to have this kind of pinch-me moment to be a part of the NFL draft coverage on ABC and ESPN?
I tell you what, guys. Our pre-show meetings have been so informative and entertaining that if it's anything like that tonight on the broadcast, we're in business. Nick Saban is, I mean, he's the GOAT, right? He's an undisputed legend of the game, and his insight is off the charts. So to have him and Bill Belichick, by the way, also on the ESPN family tonight, right? He on the Pat McAfee show. I mean, can you believe that? We've got two of, you know, I think the two greatest coaches in professional and college football history on the airwaves is spectacular. I'm very humbled to be a teeny tiny part of it tonight.
If they put three pictures up there and have Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, Phil Yates, somebody's going to say, who are those two hacks with Phil Yates, ESPN NFL draft analyst?
look at Bill and Nick's grandson.
Hey, exactly.
Hey, dinner's on me the next time when we're back home, all right?
Always appreciate you, Phil. Go knock it out tonight, my friend. Thank you so much.
thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
Great stuff by FOS of the show, meaning Phil Yates, ESPN NFL draft analyst. Like Greg mentioned, a great follow on Twitter at Phil Yates. Like we mentioned, part of ESPN ABC draft coverage tonight. He'll be a Reese Davis, the College Game Day crew on one channel, and then you're going to have all the other guys, Mel Kiper Jr., everybody else on the other channel. Harry Dells will have like post-game stuff when it comes to the NFL draft on ESPN Digital. We're going to have you covered all over the place, especially in ESPN Radio. The NFL draft and coverage beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern time and 4 p.m. on the West Coast. Harry Douglas, Freddie coming together in for Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. And we talk about the Jets and what could they do with the 10th pick of the NFL draft. We're going to have the latest on what the GM of the team, a.k.a. Aaron Rodgers, wants them to do. This is ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Barbasol Shaving Cream, America's leader for a close, comfortable shave. Better by Barbasol.
Throwing toward the end zone. Caught again! Brock Bowers!
Brock
Bowers is a George Kittle clone.
I wouldn't want to tackle him. You've seen Stiles. He runs through tackles and hits people.
He played tight end. He played in the slot. He even went in the backfield and played running back.
I think Brock Bowers is a top five pick as a tight end.
You will say, well, he's just a tight end. No, he's not. He's an offensive weapon at 6'3", 243 pounds. He was a dynamo right away when he stepped on that field as a true freshman. Fullback, H-back, slot, wing, wide. Put him all over the place. He will be a nightmare to try to handle and a nightmare for defensive coordinators to prepare for. Nobody had an answer for him at the collegiate level. He should be really good in the NFL.
Harry Douglas. Freddie Coleman in for Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. And don't forget to tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio from the What They're Hearing Department files when it comes to the NFL draft. Like we mentioned, coverage on ESPN Radio tonight begins at 7 o'clock Eastern time. Former NFL Nation Jets reporter Rich Cimini put on Twitter about what he's hearing about the Jets at number 10, Harry Douglas. Here's some of the scenarios. They could pick anywhere from number 8, where the Falcons are, to number 17, where the Jacksonville Jaguars are. If they move, it'll be for a wide receiver along the lines of Malik Nabers of LSU or Roma Dunze of Washington. Rich Cimini said that if something goes down, if they move down, it'll probably be for an offensive tackle. If they go for that offensive tackle, the ideal scenario is trading down and picking up extra draft capital. There's also a chance that Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze could fall to number 10. If that happens, Rich Cimini believes the Jets would take the wide receiver over Brock Bowers, the tight end of Georgia, or an offensive tackle. But if they stay at number 10, Bowers will be in play, and Nabers and Adunze are gone if that happens for the Jets.
I think the wide receiver portion of it.
You like that one?
Yes, I do, because when I look at Aaron Rodgers, and Lord knows I know this from experience,
yeah.
When he won a Super Bowl in 2010, they barely got in the playoffs. But I look at the weapons that he had that season, mm-hmm. and that was Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, Jordy Nelson,
ooh.
James Jones.
Ooh.
So I'm thinking to myself, if Aaron Rodgers and the Jets are going to be all in, wouldn't you try to make it like it was when he won a Super Bowl, right?
Okay.
So that means continue to put more weapons around him. So you all have right. Mike Williams.
Okay.
You have Garrett Wilson.
Sure.
You add another young piece to the at the wide receiver position. Whether it's Malik Nabers or it's Romo Dunze,
mm-hmm.
whoever it may be. Now you're kind of, in my opinion, trying to recreate something in which we've seen Aaron Rodgers okay. at his best.
Okay.
Now, the reason why I say I know from experience, well, the Atlanta Falcons in 2010 had the number one seed overall.
Uh-huh.
And Aaron Rodgers and company came in and put a mud hole in us. And that same Aaron Rodgers, my colleague Ryan Clark, he's talked about this plenty of times, had a hell of a Super Bowl as well.
He certainly did.
As the Green Bay Packers won it that year versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I would think they would probably try to go for that because they're in the mindset of win now.
Mm-hmm.
While we have Aaron Rodgers, let's capitalize on his skill set and what he brings to the table right now. Now, me personally.
Okay, you personally.
I feel like they should get the offensive lineman.
Right.
But they're trying to win now. All mm-hmm. the moves that they made this offseason tell us that. The moves that they made last year tell us that they're trying to win right now. Because what other reason would you go get Aaron Rodgers right now
okay.
and you would basically let him basically run your team, in okay. my opinion, your organization?
Okay. Uncle Freddie will play along with cousin Harry Douglas here. In for Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. If you're the general manager, Joe Douglas, do you need to get above the Chicago Bears at number 9 and not wait for Brock Bowers at 10 to get one of the wide receivers that you believe will be better for the Jets winning now instead of Brock Bowers?
I believe you do, because I think if Romo Dunze is there at 9, I think the Bears would select him.
No doubt.
I pretty much think the Giants are going to take Malik Nabers. It's also how the draft plays out too, but
mm-hmm.
just based on what I think Malik Nabers is going 6 to the Giants. I believe Romo Dunze will go number 9 to the Chicago Bears. So okay. now if you're the Jets, you're at 10, you look at the Atlanta Falcons. You know what? Hey, can we move up to number 8? Well, you know, me being an Atlanta Falcons fan, of course you can. We'll take this draft capital that you want to present to us. We'll go to number 10 and still get a player that we think that we can get
mm-hmm.
at number 8.
I'm a big believer. You worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. And in modern football, you're right about Aaron Rodgers. If you're going to be like all in, like Jerry Jones has said about the Dallas Cowboys, you got to be all in the New York Jets because Aaron Rodgers is not 20. He's not 30. He's 40. Let's call it as it is. So if you're going to be all in, I'm with you on that one. You got to be completely, completely all in. If you believe that Brock Bowers is not going to help you sooner than later for a quarterback that's pretty much dictating what you're going to do with the 10th pick in the draft, whether you decide to move up or trade down, then if you're the New York Jets, you really got to be all in because you don't know how long Aaron Rodgers is going to last behind an offensive line that, even though they made some moves, still kind of suspect until we actually see it on the football field how that's going to work. But I'll throw a little twist at you, Harry Douglas.
Uh-oh.
Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins, he said, get me out of Cincinnati. He does not want to stay. They don't have enough money to pay him. He is done with that team. Brandon Ayuk is out there as well from the San Francisco 49ers. They're no closer to a new deal. What about the Jets trading next year's first for one of those guys, and then you can still get Brock Bowers or an offensive tackle by staying at number 10?
That is also a very – that is a very good move that they can make.
Okay.
The thing is, you ask yourself, okay, we're going to have to pay T. Higgins or Brandon Ayuk. Whether it's either or, you're going to have to pay them. You do know you're going to have to pay Garrett Wilson soon as well. Mike Williams is on a one-year deal. Now, if you draft this rookie wide receiver, you have time.
Right.
With the rookie wide receiver. So it's also, in my opinion, I think a numbers game too.
Yeah, it's always a numbers game.
You know what I mean?
It's always a money numbers game.
Yep.
And if you're committing that kind of capital that's out there, because you're right, with Brandon Ayuk, you can't have two guys with potential max contracts on the same team in the same position when it comes to wide receiver Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk.
And that's another reason why Brandon Ayuk is probably on the trade block because
absolutely.
They paid who? Deebo Samuel.
And also Amon-Ra St. Brown got that deal from the Detroit Lions yesterday. Yep. I'm sure plenty of wide receivers like CeeDee Lamb would go, ooh, wait, well, we're going to get some money.
CeeDee Lamb, you have Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson, absolutely.
What's my guy in Cincinnati?
Oh, Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase.
He's definitely getting paid.
When they seen the deal that Amon-Ra St. Brown got, those guys are playing.
Yep.
They better not dare think I'm taking less.
Because now they have that leverage. If you had this conversation 6-7 years ago, when wide receivers weren't treated like that, they had no leverage. They were the running backs in the NFL back then. Now things are different. In a passing league, they saw that kind of money saying, if he got paid, I know I'm getting paid. I know I'm better than that guy.
What's that little saying? Money make the go woo-woo.
They're going to be playing NFL general manager owners going, woo-woo-woo, we got to pay these guys because they know if you need a quarterback, you better have weapons around him and hope for the best. The usual one of the co-hosts of the show, Chris Carlin, he's in Detroit getting ready for NFL draft coverage and ESPN Radio. What is he hearing in Motown with the draft less than 6 hours away? Freddie Coleman and Harry Dustin for Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.